And we were talking, and I heard his share there, and we were talking, and I said, I want to go to the region. He goes, so am I. And then, like I said, you know, 6 months later, he wound up becoming my sponsor, and he's still my sponsor. So it's just a miracle how these things work. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Bob.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bob. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I have pictures I'm going to pass around. They are pictures of my story. You can kind of see it, and you can see that I belong in this program. There's no doubt about it. I've been in program since November 3rd, 2003. Been abstinent since May 10th, 2004, so a little over 6 years, and by the grace of my higher power, given away 120 pounds. And I say given away because it was God that took it from me, and then at any moment in time, I'm only one bite away from taking all that weight back and being a 300-pound man again. First of all, I want to ask and I don't know everybody here, so who is in program less than a year? All right. Well, and you are the most important people in this room. Who is a sponsor in this room? Please raise your hand. Who needs a sponsor that's in this room? Who is a sponsor? Who needs a sponsor? Who is a sponsor? Who needs a sponsor? All right. Let's make that a point of the weekend to see the both of you, the few of you who need a sponsor, to hook up with those many of us who are sponsors. I think that's very important and something, a service that we can do this weekend. All right, I'll ask a couple more questions. Who is currently going through steps 1 through 6 for the first time? Is in that step, first time? And who is in step 7 or more, or been through the steps before? Okay. Now, if you didn't raise your hand in either one, then we have some work to do. We all have some work to do. It's a very important part of this program for me, and it's important for me to say that if I'm not working the steps, am I really working my program? Because I've given away 120 pounds, but that really is a minor part of who I am and a minor part of this program when it comes down to it. Of course, I came into the rooms because of that, but it's not the reason why I'm here now. It really is about the pain and the suffering and really the voices that were going on in my head that I really needed to work the steps for. I knew how to lose weight. I had lost weight. I've been up and down the scale many times. But really, when it came down to it, it was the voices and the emotions that I was going through that was driving me to the food that I needed to address. And it wasn't until I worked the steps that I really do that. So I'll tell you a little bit about my story. First of all, I am an introvert. Any introverts in the room? I have to tell you that because I have a hard time public speaking. But I don't have a problem now sharing my story, which is a real gift of this program. And I share that because there's a lot of people out there who are afraid to do any type of public speaking. And I'm one of them. I got to tell you, when I was in college doing my speeches, I was dripping sweat when I had to give my speeches. And even when I shared the very first time, I was trembling in fear. Not feeling that I had anything worthwhile to share. So there is so much that I can give back now and tell you about, and that is why I do this. It's not for me, and I realize that, you know, other than God, no one knows me better than me, so I can talk about myself, and that's why I do this. And being introverts, not that easy. And I know those who are introverts know what I mean. But it has been really a gift. And one of the gifts God's given me is that I have a hard time meeting people. And by being willing to come up here and speak, I'm sharing a little bit about myself and opening my heart to you. And you naturally, people will come up and talk to me afterward. And that's how I get to meet people. And that's God's gift back to me for being willing to speak. So my story begins, I see a picture in there of me, one of the very first pictures of me in a bathing suit when I was young, and not a picture that I hated. I did not like it at all, my gut sticking out. It's just, you know, I was a chubby kid, you know. People talk about hitting the husky racks, you know, men know those husky racks, and that's what I did. I was a husky boy, and I was fat, and I hated that word fat for many years, and now I've come to accept that as who I was, and fat was part of me. But I had a real hard time because I was a very shy boy, youngest of seven, large Italian family, food was everywhere, all the time, and I'm a people pleaser. Somebody mentioned people pleasing. Oh my gosh, that's me. And that's just what I love to do, is please people. And I found out at an early age that, in an Italian family anyway, eating really pleased my parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and they loved to say, mangia, mangia, you know, and just, you know, eating was happiness in a large Italian family. So it wasn't just at the big, you know, family occasions, but even at the dinner table, it was, you know, Bobby, clean your plate, you know. So it was, you know, it made that, brought a smile to their faces, and I really loved to please. So I really loved to eat and loved to please, and that's what I did. What happens is that as you start to gain weight, people start to look at you, and even my parents started looking at me and said, you know what, you're a little bit heavy, maybe you need a diet. So on one day they're telling me, eat, eat, eat. The next day they're telling me, maybe you should diet. And I really got the mixed messages, and really went, you know, in my head, I just didn't know what was right. You know, why was it wrong for me to eat one day, and the next day you're telling me to eat? So it really was an excuse, though. I actually had to come to terms with it, is that, you know, I had to accept a responsibility for my body and what I put in my body, and later on I made an amends to my mom because I used to blame her for making food. You know, she was cooking how she knew to cook. You know, Italians cook for 20 when they're cooking for, you know, when there's 10 people coming. Well, you know, my mom, you know, we had a large family, so she was still cooking as if there were seven kids in the house when I was the only one there. And I ate for the other six that weren't there, you know. So that's just, you know, and I blamed her for cooking too much food. Could you believe that? But that's what I was doing. I was like, yeah, why did you cook so much food? So anyway, I had to come to terms with that. And one of the things, though, that I really was troublesome was the people pleasing, and I really looked to other people to get my self-worth. You know, I looked for affirmations, I looked for whatever they said I was, you know, and somebody, you know, put it this way, a recent speaker I heard was like, someone could take my breath away with just one word that they said. They could just change my world with what they verbally said. That's how I took other people, what they said. A lot of people was like, what do you care what they say? I did. Anything that they said. So when people called me fat, joked, you know, I took that to heart. All the guilt and shame just bottling up inside of me. You know, it was almost as if I was a people pleaser, and that gave me self-worth. But I still felt worthless. It was important for me to please others. That was what I said. That was one of my goals in life when I was younger. It was like, I really want to be helpful. But I really didn't feel worthy afterward. And I felt low. I had very low self-esteem. So the people-pleasing, really, what I've come to realize that the people-pleasing was actually an escape. I was actually escaping by putting so much time and effort into others. I didn't have to look at myself and didn't have to care for myself. So at the end of the day, when I was totally exhausted from helping other people, I could use the excuse that I could eat whatever I wanted because I deserved time. That was my time. that was my time of isolation that I could just, you know, it was me time. I could go up to my room, you know, I could eat the leftovers that were, you know, all the, you know, the, all the extra leftovers my mom made. That was my time, and I deserved that, you know. And I grew up that way. That I, you know, I had, you know, rewards that I could give to myself, things that I deserved, and mostly they would be food. And that was a hard thing for me to change as I got older. Even when I got married, we would, you know, we would reward each other, you know, eating buddy now. And I got an eating buddy with me all the time, you know, and, you know, we gained weight together. And then we would reward each other with very, variable, whatever it was, you know, all different types of food. And I had, that was hard, even with the kids. I have two boys, 13 and 10 now, and I've been married for 17 years. And I've evolved so much. But one of the things I had to do was that, you know, I was so used to getting treats for myself that, you know, when I was a kid, that's what I did. So how could I deprive my own kids of these treats, you know? And so it's kind of, you know, a hit or miss. I let them ask for things instead of me getting them things that I think they would want, you know, and I'm living vicariously through them by getting them food and giving it to them. Wow, you know, here, try this. You know, that's what I used to do. And now I'm like, you know, I don't need to do that today. And I'm grateful for that. Program has showed me that. So I basically, by using all of these escapes, I was checking out of life. So I really, someone mentioned earlier that they didn't really know who they were. And I didn't know who I was. I really didn't. So when I came to program, that was one of the things I needed to do. But I didn't jump into program. You know, not in any way, shape, or form. So for those who are like me, the procrastinators, or the people who like to wait and check things out, you know, kind of ease into it, and as I call, put the toe in the water, don't really want to get wet, and, you know, might be a little too cold, maybe I'll wait, I'll come back in a little while. Well, what happened was I was complaining about my weight, and I was very heavy, and I was grabbing and pulling at my fat. You know, and it was really demoralizing for me that I had a hard time meeting people, hard time dating, thought of myself that I was worthless, and I would start the sentences that would be, I'm no good because, and I would end that. You know, that's just how I was every single day. And I went through that thought process, and that's just how I felt. One day I confronted a friend, and she was an AA, and I just said, you know, I just I'm not feeling good today. And we got to talking, and she said, you know, I think you might have a problem with food. And I'm an AA, and maybe you want to try a thing called OA. I was like, what's OA? Overeaters Anonymous? I never heard of OA at that time, you know. And she said, well, it's a 12-step program just like AA. And I said, well, 12-step programs, you know, those are people who really, really are messed up. You know, that's I don't need that. The only experience I had was with a nephew who was a drug addict, and I just said, you know what, he's really messed up, and that's not me. So I really had a predetermined, you know, preconceived notion of what a 12-step program was. So I backed off from it. I said, you know what, I'm still going to go try the dieting. I'm not quite ready there to do that. 3 years of auditing, you know, 3 years of still checking out the other things. And finally, but that, you know, the seed was planted, and that was important for me. Someone actually said, you know, that's why I encourage you to 12-step other people, to say, you know, you know, I do break my anonymity all the time. I say, this is who I am, and I'm a member of OA, Overeaters Anonymous. I have no problem doing that, because you never know what you're going to say to somebody. 3 years later, they may act on it, and that's exactly what happened to me. It took me 3 years to get the courage to walk into the rooms, and I still, you know, I didn't pick up the phone. I didn't talk to somebody, you know. I looked on the website, you know, I answered the questions, am I really a compulsive overeater? Maybe I'm going to get only, you know, two of those and say yes. You know, I just went through any way I could delay this, you know, finally I was like, you know, it was after a day of binge eating with the boys, you know, I was watching football and, you know, binged my brains out that day. I came home to my wife that night and I was just, just couldn't stand myself. I really just could not stand myself. So I said, you know, it's time to do something. I was literally ready to pull out the kitchen shears and cut off that fat that I kept pulling at. You know, I just wanted to be rid of it. You know, the quick and easy fix. That's what we all want. That's what I wanted. So I decided instead to try OA, and I walked into the rooms, and there were a bunch of 20 women, a bunch of women, there were 20 women, and me and one other guy. And it hasn't changed all that much, but, you know, guys are growing. We were getting there. You know, but I still heard what I needed, and I was really, it was tough for me at first because I was listening to shares and I connected, and by the time I walked out that first meeting, I really was filled up with tears. And I heard something, I connected, I felt at home, even though I didn't know these people. I have a hard time meeting people, remember. And when the meeting got over, I bolted. I was out of there. I wasn't talking to anybody. You know, it was just, I heard what I needed to hear, but I still wasn't ready to commit. You know, when I was final, I just went to that meeting. I didn't go to other meetings and find men. I didn't do that. I just went to that same meeting because I like habits. I like, you know, rituals. I like to do the same thing. That's why, you know, I do HAL now because of discipline, because I like the repetition. And so I went to the same meeting. You know, finally somebody said to me after I asked a woman to sponsor me, and she said no. She said, maybe you should try to go to other meetings and find men. Like, yeah, maybe I could go to another meeting and find a man. So there are little angels in my life. And, you know, one angel, a woman in OA, she said, you know what, I'm going to take you to an intergroup meeting. I know there's men there. And so not only did she introduce me to a sponsor there, my future sponsor, who happened to be a HAL sponsor, thanks a lot for that. You know, But you know what, I didn't care because I didn't care about sugar, flour, and weighing and measure. I didn't care because it was a man and he said yes, he would sponsor me. And I was so much at the point that I just knew that I needed something else and I wanted to try this. I was totally defeated and I needed to do something else because what I was doing wasn't working. You know, so I needed to move on and to try something else. So. And she also introduced me to Intergroup, which I had no idea what it was. Wow, we get together, you know, once a month and have business meetings and talk, right? People do service? Okay, I'll come back another time. But, you know, I did, and you know, and that was amazing for me to get introduced to that way. So I started with my sponsor, and it was an amazing process, you know. He told me to try not having sugar and flour for one day, and I tried it for one day, and I said I could do that, and I tried it for another day. I tried it for another day, and my head started getting clearer, which is, you know, I stayed with HAL. You know, it doesn't work for everybody, and I encourage everybody, sponsees who are not HAL, and it doesn't really matter to me, you know, but that's what I needed. More importantly than all that, than getting the food plan and losing the 120 pounds, was starting to work the steps. Because for the 4 months that I was, you know, just checking out the program, going to meetings, I wasn't really doing anything but being on a diet. You know, I was on a diet and I was going to meetings. When I got a sponsor, I was actually starting to work the program and I started to understand what it was really all about. So my sponsor really, you know, was a godsend to me. So I needed to work the steps to really find out, you know, it's not, I don't really need to understand why I have this disease, but I need to understand what feelings were bringing me to the food. You know I have a disease, and I'm not going to do anything about that, but there's something I can do, and I can find out why I was stuffing myself, you know, with that hole, an unquenchable thirst, the unfillable hole with food. You know, it's the hole in my soul that I was just eating and eating and eating, and it was never going to be filled. So, you know, what I've learned now that by working the steps, all the venom, all the poison that I was taking, that I was hoping someone else was going to die when I took the poison. I kept swallowing and swallowing and swallowing, and all those feelings of other people, you know, all the things they said to me, all the guilt and shame I put on myself, which was worse than the other things that they said to me. You know, I was just stuffing it down inside by working the steps, trusting and relying on God, you know, instead of food. Because for so long, food was my God. It was either food or it was money. I was a workaholic, escaping from life by doing that. So it was money was my God at one time, food was my God the rest of the time. Food was my best friend. It was time to change that. You know, but how do you do that? You can't just go, you know, snap your fingers and it happens. You know, it's a process, and it's by working the steps. So by accepting God, by saying I was powerless, by surrendering, you know, to God on a daily basis, that was a start for me. Doing the fourth step, you know, which if anybody's there and is having trouble with, just keep writing. Just keep plugging away, because, you know, that was a key for me. Because the first three steps were only decisions. You know, fourth step, I'm actually taking the action to really examine what the heck was happening all these years. You know, and to start get the venom starts to come out then. You know, and then I was really feeling the feelings. And it's tough. It's not an easy step. But no one said it was going to be easy. And the alternative is me to be a 300-pound man again. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to live my life like that. So that's what I chose to do, was to keep progressing. Giving my fifth step away was an unbelievably freeing process. You know, it was just so wonderful that someone else, you know, I gave it to my sponsor the first time, and it was just so amazing that someone else would actually have the patience to listen, for one, without commenting, without feedback, and just saying, I was like, I can't believe I'm going to bare my soul to somebody else. You know, all these things I did, and he said, I've done worse. You know, it was amazing just saying, you know, not that I've done worse, I've done that too. You know, not that I've done worse. It was that the person could relate to me so much. And I thought I was the only one. So it was great to get that affirmation. And I really needed that. Because I believe that, you know, someone before, and I heard the word toxic shame. That's really what I had. It was a core belief that I was less than. It wasn't just a feeling, you know. So that's what I believe this disease was for me. It was really in my bones, you know. And it's never really going to leave me, but it doesn't mean that I have to leave it that way and I can't take some action to change it, you know. So that was great for me. So I want to back up a step to the third step prayer, because in the third step prayer, I was like, I was saying the third step prayer over and over and over every day, and I still do. But there were two action verbs in the first, you know, first phrase. As God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. So I was actually saying that I want God to change me, to build with me, to change me. You know, it was just amazing to hear that I'm actually saying, God, you know, I'm willing. I'm willing to start the process of being a different person, because I don't need to be the old Bob, you know. I'm grateful to say that, you know, I can be who I am 24 hours a day. I can be Bob. You know, before I used to be a Bob, that I was the work Bob, I was the friend Bob, I was the family man Bob, and I was the eating Bob. You know, and but when I was with other people, I always put a mask on. I would always smile, I'm happy, everything's okay, and I'm dying inside. You know, when I worked the steps, I became a different person. And my wife says, you seem different. Well, I was, because I wasn't putting the fake mask on. Everybody thought I was happy, joyous, and free. I wasn't. You know, I became more serious at first. And I've learned to have a little more fun in program now, and because of program. But at first, I really took myself serious because I was reflecting, and I wanted to be truthful and honest in who I was. But it also made me more serious. And she said, "You're not fun anymore." Like, you know what? I know I'm not as fun, but at least I'm not fake. You know, I don't want to be fake anymore. And I was way too fake all the time. So now I don't have to put the facade on. Now I can be Bob 24/7 and not have to hide behind anything. You know, I love that about me. I don't have to be dishonest or be, you know, say afraid I'm going to say one thing to this person and then hope the other person doesn't hear it, you know? And, you know, I gossip with this person and they're going to hear it. And, you know, no, you know, I can be truthful and be that person all day long. So I just wanted to share that because that really was something I needed to do. So moving on to 6 and 7. And if you are a sponsor, this pamphlet is here, Sponsoring Through the 12 Steps. It's a newly revised pamphlet. It's wonderful. If you haven't seen it, it's wonderful. Get it. So in Freudian. So maybe that's a defect I need to work on. Sounds like there's some questions in here. You know, how has each defect worked for you? And that was something that so what does the defect do for me? You know, not just, you know, what does it do to me? And what does it do for me? So they were the questions that step 6 really helped me. Maybe I need some water. That's what step 6 really helped me to do. You know, I was really, you know, I'm not going to be cured of these defects. But was I really entirely ready to have God remove these defects? I thought that was an easy answer. You know, steps 4 and 5 was things that I could do. Now, steps 6 and 7 was really things that God is going to do for me. God's going to remove these defects. I don't need to remove these defects. And you know what? It's in His time, not mine. So I wanted them gone now. I shared them on my 5th step. You know what? To my sponsor, I want them gone now. I want to make those 8. I want to make that 9-step amends. I want to get rid of them. I want to be a new person. But I said, you know what, I got to stop. The brakes went on. It was like, it doesn't say me remove them. It says God's got to remove them. So, you know, that's where humility came in. So I can't do this. I can't do this. You know, this is not, you know, so let me start looking at these defects and do what can I do in steps 6 and 7. You know, what is the payoff? What is the payoff from this defect? What was it giving me? You know? So I really started looking at myself and saying, who am I? You know, and what am I getting from these defects? You know, what am I getting from judgment? You know, what am I getting from fear, from lust? You know, what was I getting from the envy and the procrastination? You know, for me it was literally all an escape, but I was playing the victim. You know, I could be the victim, and again, I could always come back and say, you know what, food was what I deserved, and it always came back to that for me. So when I looked at the payoffs, I had to say, was I willing to let that go? When I moved on to step 7, after saying yes, it took me a while, because I really saying, you know what, I'm really making a decision to let God change me here. It's not something real slight. This is huge for me, because I was, I was writing away for step 4. I was talking for step 5. Step 6, I'm praying and saying, God, change me. And I'm willing to let you do that to me. And I had to really come to grips with it when I really understood what it was I was doing. Before I move into step 7, it was great to hear when I went to World Service Convention a couple weeks ago, the speaker talked about, did you ever notice in step 6, it talks about defects, and when you go into step 7, it says, humbly ask God to remove my shortcomings? Like, no, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that or even see that. Well, when defects, how she explained it to me, which I liked the explanation, and I embraced it, was a defect was the darkness. When you're in the darkness, and when you are trying to handle your defect alone, it's a defect. But when you shed the light of God and bring God into it, it now becomes a shortcoming. Wow, that's a great way to look at it. You know, shortcomings come and go. And my defects, they come and go. You know? So that was a great way for me to look at it. So it was important for me to understand what humility was. And humility for me is not thinking less of myself, because that was self-esteem, low self-esteem, which is a defect, which I didn't know was a defect. It's a defect. It's thinking of myself less often. That's what humility is for me. You know, and not thinking of what, you know, I want to do in my life, but thinking of myself anew and what God would want for me in my life. So, you know, that's what I was brought in with the seventh step. I started realizing that God's got a better plan for me. And the way that I was conducting my life in the past, I wasn't consulting God on at all. You know, and I'm grateful now that I start my day that I can ask God, you know, to direct my thinking. I mean, if you look at these wonderful slips, it basically is what I do as a written 10-step every night. And at the bottom it says, "Dear God, please direct my thinking today. And I pray that it is divorced from self-pity, dishonest, and self-seeking motives." And that's page 86 of the Big Book, and I start that every day. You know, it is what I need to do each and every day, because I used to start, and I still have my to-do list, and you know, they're this long. And I used to think that getting those things done was what my goal was in the day. You know, and now I can look at that list, and you say, you know what, maybe there's a couple of things that God wants me to do, but I need to pray on it. But really, what else? God's got better plans for me for today. You know, I really had to focus my priorities, you know, and say, you know what, God doesn't want me to scatter myself in many different ways. So what really, you know, I looked at my life and saying, you know, I don't want to die a workaholic. I don't want that on my tombstone. So who do I want to be? I had to discover who I was, because I didn't know who I was. I lived my life through other people, you got to remember. So now I'm actually trying to define my life. That's huge. Step 7 helped me with that. You know, God removed my shortcomings, but at the same time, He's given me an opportunity to bring all that goodness in, all that peace, all that love, and help, you know, define who I really am today. You know, that was the greatness of Step 7. That was the change in my life. Steps 8 and 9, absolutely. You know, I still had to do those, and they were on the horizon, you know, making my amends, but step 7 was where I accepted God and saying, God, change me. I'm ready for you to change me. You know, I don't know who I'm going to be, but with you, anything's possible. Look, I'm standing before you and speaking. Anything's possible. It really is. I know I'm running short on time. Many of you may have heard this story before, but I have to read it. It's one of my favorites. It's in the Back to Basics step studies. If you've been through them, you may have heard this before. It's called the Teacup Story, and bear with me as I read it. It's one of my favorite stories, and I love to read it with emotion. Step 7 says, "Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So I'd like to attempt explaining the difference between just asking and humbly asking. Being humble is becoming aware of the littleness of ourselves compared to the bigness of God. Did you ever think your only problem is not getting your way? Being a servant of God is the highest attainment in OA. We climb our way all the way up to servant. That's what a winner is, a servant. We're just out there doing what God gives us the intuition to do. And when this transformation takes place, our needs are being met from the inside. So we don't have to go out and get anything to get fixed. We're already fixed because we already have everything we need. And we're simply moving through life just looking for ways of being of service to God. So humility is an awareness that we are willing to go through whatever it takes to become God-centered. That means we're willing to have to go through the pain of often not getting our ways and voluntarily going through this transforming discomfort. And here's the story. A lump of gray clay was sitting on the shelf next to a beautiful teacup. The clay says to the teacup, "Is this all there is to life? Just sitting here not doing much of anything? Why can't I be just like you? A teacup that people love and say is very beautiful." The teacup says, "Not too long ago, I was just like you. One day soon, you will be a teacup too. And people will say that you too are very beautiful. And they will also want to take you home with them." "Yes, I would love that," says the lump of clay. "Can you ask the master to make me into a beautiful teacup?" Right here in this part of the story, the clay is just asking to become a teacup. But humbly asking is a little different than that, as will be shown by the rest of the story. The teacup continues. "Let me tell you what it takes to become the most gorgeous, the most beautiful little teacup that everyone admires and loves. I didn't always look like this. There was a time in my life when I too was just a hard, cold lump of gray clay. Well, one day my master came along and he picked me up and he began to pat me and roll me. And I said, 'What are you doing? Stop it. Quit. That hurts. Don't do that. Ouch. Leave me alone.' And he simply said, 'Not yet.' And then he put me on this wheel and began to spin me around and around and around. And I said, 'I'm getting dizzy, getting sick to my stomach. Let me off of here. I can't stand this. Oh, oh, what's happening? My whole shape is changing. Stop it, stop it.' And he said, 'Not yet.' After my shape had changed, he began to paint me all over. And I said, 'Ooh, this stuff stinks. Stop it, stop it.' And he still said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in his oven and he closed the door. The oven had a little window and he just kept looking at me. And I said, 'I can't stand this heat. Let me out of here. You don't love me. Let me out of here. Why are you just looking at me?' And he simply looked at me through the door and he said, 'Not yet.' Then finally, he opened the door, took me and dried me on the shelf for a while and put another coat of that awful paint on me. And he turned that oven back on 7 times hotter than before and put me in there again. And I said, 'Why are you doing this? I can't stand it. You don't understand. I can't do this anymore. I can't take it. Let me out of here.' He just looked through that glass and he said, 'Not yet.' Finally, one day, he opened the door, took me out, set me on the shelf, let me cool off for a while, and then came by with a mirror and he held it up in front of me and I couldn't believe it. I was so beautiful. I was so changed. I was so different. I didn't even look like that old lump of gray clay anymore. And now people everywhere appreciate and love me. And I love myself. I'll add that too. Now if you ask, you're humbly asking. You know what's involved. You know it's not going to be easy. But you want it anyway. Spirituality is about changing our attitude about pain and discomfort and looking through the pain to see the beauty of what is coming. So that's the difference between just asking and humbly asking. So, I guess I'm running close on time. Almost? 4 minutes? Good. Okay. Have a couple more minutes. I have a daily prayer that I say it's not a program prayer, but I'm going to share it with you only because of the words and what I do with it. So I ask God to bless me and to bless my family every day. I ask God to enlarge my territory. And why I say that is because I was always living in this box. I really had predetermined every single day. You know, I had a predetermined notion of what God was and what I could do and what God could do for me. You know, I really just said that this was me. And I really have nowhere else to go with it. So I'm amazed by praying this prayer every day for God to enlarge my territory, that I'm really accepting, God, whatever it is you got for me today, I'm willing. I'm not saying I'm definitely going to do it, but I'm definitely willing. You know, by praying this prayer, I accepted, you know, somebody found my name on a speaker list in Seattle, Washington, and asked me to come out and speak at a HOW retreat out there. If I wasn't praying this prayer, and if I wasn't in program, I would have said, no, that's not me. I'm not doing that lead a retreat. No, 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 that's not Bob. But you know what? I prayed the prayer. And I said, God, if it's your will, I'm willing. And it worked out. And I did it. It was truly amazing. What an experience. You know, I have friends in Seattle, Washington now. You know, I have friends all over the world thanks to service. So the prayer goes on. You know, so the things that what I pray for when I'm enlarging my territory, you know, I'm blocking myself from God every day. You know, there are things that I do. Every time I do these things that are on the list, you know, judgment, you know, self-pity, envy, all of these things are things that are blocking me from God. So I pray that to remove those blocks, so that I can better be in sync with my higher power, to enable him, you know, if I'm walking with God, I'm not walking with these defects. So I need to walk with God and to remove those blocks from God. You know, so that's what I pray for. And then I pray that God's hands be with me. So I really do pray that I know that he's with me all day long. You know, and that kind of, you know, I'm also looking at, you know, he's watching me all day long too now. You know, I'm accepting. I'm inviting him in. You know, all the things that I'm doing, all the things that I used to do, being deceitful, dishonest, and I'm looking, it's like, God knows I'm doing this. Why am I doing it? It helps me. It really does. Knowing that God's with me has changed me. You know, I'm willing to accept God with me 24/7. You know, that's made me a better person. And I pray that he keeps me from the evil, evil that is influenced by others and myself, you know, and that I may not cause pain to myself and to others. So that's a prayer that I pray every day. So I want to offer you hope today. Hope that your life can be changed. We all have so much of a gift that God has given us. And if we just keep working it together, you know, we have work that we have to do ourselves. There's no doubt about it. But when you work with a sponsor, you know, you're not alone when you're working the steps. And it doesn't mean that I can't ask the person next to me a question about the steps, because they may have been through those steps before. You know, so I love the ability of sharing things at meetings, because it's just such a gift that, you know, people have been through this before. There are people who have been in program for 40 years, and I've only been in 7. So I can learn from those people. And people may get something from me that I say too. Great. You know, that's how it works. We give back. We do service. I've done work at intergroup level, and now I've done a service at world level. You know, I still do service at my meeting level, too. I just continue to do service, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love to do it, and I love to share my story, too. That's great to be of service. The words of the seven-step prayer is how I want to end. So saying these words every day has been a blessing. So to say that, you know, in Big Book, page 76, my Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad, all of me. I pray that you now remove from me, it's now remove, not remove now. You know, I realize that after saying it many times, it's not God, you take this away from me right now, right now, right now, I want it gone. No, it's on God's time. But you need to pray for it to be removed. So that's what I'm doing. I'm praying that it be removed. But why do I, you know, want that every single defect of character removed? Because it stands in the way of my usefulness to you, my higher power, and my fellows. That's why. Not because when you remove these things from me, I can eat more. I can be Mr. Important. Here I am. No, it's because I can be a useful servant. That's why I want them removed from me today. So grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. And someone told me once that there's an amen after the seventh step prayer, but there's not an amen after the third step prayer. So steps 3 through 7 are one big prayer. And it was amazing to hear that. So, but anyway, I am so excited for all of us, including myself, being here today. It's a wonderful journey we're on. And, you know, I plan to make the best of it today. I hope you do too. And I would love to talk with each and every one of you today. So thank you for letting me share.
On behalf of all of us, I'd like to thank Bob very much for his pitch. We have some little goodies for you.
Oh.
So enjoy.
Oh, thank you very much.
Barnes & Noble gift certificate, oh, a letter opener, and something for your desk.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.